viparyaya asit sa eva na chirad eisha sangat viliyate esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirad isha sangat viliyate esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirad isha sangat viliyate. Okay. Esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirad isha sangat viliyate. Ishavasya sangena isha sangat viliyate isha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirat isha sangat priliyate esha prakriti sangena ushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirat isha sangat viliyate esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirat isha sangat viliyate. Ladies. Isha sangena prakena purushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirat isha sangat viliyate isha sangpiti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sa eva na chirat isha sangat viliyate isha sankriti sangena isha prakriti viparyaya asit sa eva na chirat isha sangena na late. Word for word, esha, this, prakriti sangena, because of association with the material nature, purushasya, of the living entity, viparyaya, a situation of forgetfulness or an awkward position. Asit, came to be. Sa, that position. Eva, indeed. Na, not. Chirat, taking a long time. Isha sangat, from the association of the Supreme Lord. Viliyate, is vanquished. Translation. Since the living entity is associated with material nature, he is in an awkward position. But if in the human form of life, he is taught how to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, this position can be overcome. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word prakriti means material nature, and purusha may also refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one wants to continue his association with prakriti, the female energy of Krishna, and be separated from Krishna by the illusion that is able to enjoy prakriti, he must continue in the conditioned life. If he changes his consciousness, however, and associates with the Supreme Original Person, Purushottam, Shashvatam, or with his associates, he can get out of the entanglement of material nature. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattvataha. One must simply understand the Supreme Person, Krishna, in terms of his form, name, activities, and pastimes. This will keep one always in the association of Krishna. Taktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mam Eti So Arjuna. That's the rest of the same verse, 4.9, the Janmashtami verse. Thus, after giving up his gross material body, one accepts not another gross body, but a spiritual body in which to return home back to Godhead. Thus one ends the tribulation caused by his association with the material energy. In summary, the living entity is an eternal servant of God, but he comes to the material world and is bound by material conditions because of his desire to lord it over matter. Liberation means giving up this false consciousness and reviving one's original service to the Lord. This return to one's original life is called mukti, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, muktir nirvanyata rupam swarupena vivastiti. Om agana timirandasya yananjana shalakaya Chaksura militanyena tasmai shi gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manovistam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa karamayam dadati swapadantikam. Vandeham shi guru shi yuta padakamalam shi gurun vaishnavamscha. Shri rupam sajajatam sahagana ragana tanvitam tam sajivam. Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavari Paschacha Desa Tarane Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namane Namaste Gauravani Shimurtaye Dinatarane Rupanuga Viruda Apasiddhanta Dvanta Harane Namo Gaurakishwaraya Satchit Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Padambujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchit Ananda Namane Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gauravirvani Bhumestvam Nirdeshta Sajana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Boma Jagannathaya Te Namaha Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Twishe Namaha. Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Suratopangor Mama Mandir Matergati Matsarvasya Padambojo Shishi Radha Madanamo Divyad Kalpadrumado Shiman Ratnagara Singhasanasto Shishi Radha Shila Deva Govinda Devo Prestali Vi Savyamano Swanam Vamsi Pata Tatastataha Karshan Venu Sunargoti Gopinatha Striestuna Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishadi Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Tat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatai. Okay, thank you again for coming. I have to apologize for speaking in front of my very senior godbrother, Bhadranarayan Swami, who very humbly attends anyway. So like I said, today is the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America. So there was big celebrations according to the Western calendar, because that's what people note. In Calcutta, Prabhupada's getting on the boat, and then in Boston, Prabhupada's arrival. Thousands and thousands of devotees. But we cannot, you know, everything we have comes from that event that Prabhupada took the order of his spiritual master to heart and went to America. And everything we have, the Maha Mantra, the Prasadam, the books, everything is a gift from Prabhupada, so we have to try to be grateful. And there's no limit to, you know, gratitude is just, no one can repay the debt because it just keeps getting bigger all the time, because Prabhupada giving us, the more we try to serve, the more he gives us. That's Krishna. You know, the more you give to Krishna, the more he gives you back, much more. So then you become more indebted. So real devotees, like the gopis or something, they're like that. They try to serve Krishna. They don't want anything in return. But then he gives them back millions of times what they give him. And then they feel more enlivened to try to serve Krishna more. They don't think, oh, good, I got something now. And now I've got, you know, something. Devotee just becomes more and more indebted. But to understand a little bit about Prabhupada, he wrote these amazing poems. One was on the ship, just before, a few days before he arrived, according to this, like 5 days. And devotees asked Prabhupada later, what were you thinking, you know, before you came to America? He said, I was thinking that when I told them the regulated principles, they would say, go back. You know, get out of here. But a very funny thing was, the people that joined Prabhupada were the ones who had made sinful activities practically their religion, the hippies, especially illicit sex and intoxication was their religion. That was their sadhana. And they were dedicated and had all kinds of, you know, they learned from Allen Ginsberg and all his friends. Because they went to India and they saw the sadhus smoking. So they came back and said that this is the way to God. Oh, good, that sounds very good. So there's, and they're the ones that joined Prabhupada and gave up everything. People were shocked, you know. And the long hair, you know, that was the biggest thing. Because at first people didn't know about the regulative principles, they just know the shaved head. And they just couldn't believe that anybody would do that. Because Kali Yuga, hair is beauty as judged by hair. Remember Vishnujan Swami, someone asked him, why you shave head? He said, well, it reduces vanity. And then they, oh, that's a good reason. And another thing, Vishnu Janaswami, people ask me about him quite often, because I did have mercy. He kept the cartels very beautifully, you know, polished with beautiful ribbons hanging down, not with some filthy rag that, you know, now I have to take a bath after touching. This is Krishna's instrument. So please be aware of that. Everywhere we go, it looks like somebody's old, you know, and that should be very beautiful. Like you see, if you go to Manipur, they have very beautiful ribbons and tassels, and when they play the cartel, they're swinging around. Okay, so this is the poem he wrote on the ship. We'll just read the English. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Srimad Bhakti, he's writing to his god brothers, obviously. Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. Tada icha balavan paschatyeti tana tana. Bala icha, by his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout the countries of the Western world, in all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth. From all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. So Prabhupada had a lot of confidence in his order of his spiritual master. And you know, I don't know where that came from, but there was that thing about sannyasis aren't supposed to cross the ocean. One reporter, Prabhupada went on the radio, and they do some research, you know. So he said, well, isn't it that sannyasis aren't supposed to cross the ocean? And Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya said every town and village. He knew I was coming. So everywhere. As the vast mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. When everyone becomes happy, not just I become a little happy, you know, I got prasadam or I led the kirtan. When everyone is happy, meaning that they're satisfied with what they have, they're not fighting to get somebody else's property and, you know, all these things that everybody's doing in Kali Yuga, big or small. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, and here's his real qualification why he was successful, I was not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. Now, if we studied a little history, that was a standing order of Bhaktisiddhanta, you know. He did tell Prabhupada, of course, the two things he ever told Prabhupada when he first met him, and when Prabhupada wrote that letter just a few weeks before Bhaktisiddhanta left, told him, you go out and preach in the Western, you know, preach to the English-speaking people if you want to please me. But it was a standing order that one of Prabhupada's godbrothers told us once, actually, my Guru Maharaj first asked me to go, but I don't like low-class people, so I sent Swamiji. But we know that Prabhupada didn't get, nobody sent him, only his intense desire to please the spiritual master. We know how much struggle, actually we can understand. I was just reading the godbrothers' offerings for Vyas Puja, and so many were saying, well, now I'm that age, and I'm getting a little understanding of what Prabhupada did. You know, we're that age now, or, you know, 1 year short, 1 year over or something. And in London, when they had the struggle for the manor, one of the judges, they had him read all the books. So he liked the Lilamrita. So that struggle was quite some years ago, you know, maybe 20 years ago. So he was speaking to the devotees and he said, "You don't know, you don't understand what your guru did." And they said, "No, we know, you know, we know all about it." He said, "No, you don't know." And they said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You've never been 70 years old. You have no idea what he did. And with no money." He didn't even have the 40 rupees we learned. He gave that to his son before he left because he said, "It's useless. In America, you can change rupees." There were no Indian businessmen there. There were no shops. And he didn't know anybody. He just had names of two people. He didn't know them. Dr. Mishra and then Agarwal. He said when he first arrived, he phoned to Dr. Mishra, but he didn't answer. He met him later. So he's saying, if you bestow your mercy by serving a spiritual master, one attains the absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. If that service is obtained, one becomes happy and gets your association due to good fortune. So here he's talking to Krishna. "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace." Who's saying that? Huh? Prahlad Maharaj, yeah. "But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service?" Prahlad Maharaj to Nrisingadeva. Because Nrisingadeva was asking him for what he wants. "I'll give you whatever you want." He said, "No, I just want to serve my guru. I can't give that up." So Prabhupada had that mood and he wanted us to have that. If we ever get that, then there's no limit to what can be accomplished. Much has been accomplished. Like I was here for this 40th anniversary and we heard about the building of this temple. You know, it's quite miraculous. Now we have no idea, you know, in India then you couldn't get cement. If you could get it, it was corrupted and everything was, and devotees had no experience in India. They had no place to stay, no bottled water, no telephone. And somehow they built this temple. And no money until Guru Kripa came along. "Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya, birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, I will surely be able to rejoin you." Those are important words there. Forgotten you and rejoining you. For people who say different things. "My dear friend, in your company I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning I will wander about the cowherd pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Vraja. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. When will that day be mine? Se dina habe kabe mor. Kabe habe mor. When will that be mine? Kabe habe bolo. When oh when? When I will wake up, get back where I belong. Today that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have great longing, I called to you. I am your eternal servitor. Therefore, I desire your association so much, O Lord Krishna. Except for you, there is no other means of success." So we get some idea of Prabhupada's intimacy with Krishna. Claiming he's forgetting, but he's remembering so much. And we also know that this is on the 30th day or a little more of the cruise. We get, you know, completely crazy after a 6-hour flight or something, you know, just go mad, you know. But, and he was two heart attacks, had no idea where he was going, except he said he was never afraid because he knows Krishna is always with him. Still, by material standards, no money, not much idea about what America was like, except he knew that everybody was completely sinful. Nobody else would even think, his godbrothers would never think. They thought it's impossible, mlechas. Even when devotees started coming and they were full devotees, they didn't accept that they could be devotees because they weren't Indians. But Prabhupada could, anyone who chanted, he was happy. So he'd had two heart attacks, a stroke, you know, seasickness. The diary is very fascinating to read, the Jaladutta diary, because he's noting, you know, the weather, he's noting the towns he stopped in, what kind of people, what kind of buildings they had. You know, you get some idea that he's a real person, but not an ordinary person, because he's always knowing it's all Krishna's creation. So then this one is very famous, Markine Bhagavat Dharma by Bhaktivedanta. He wrote this at the harbor when the boat landed in Boston. He was just there a very short time. He got off the boat finally, could walk around. He met a few people, he notes in his diary, and he met Mr. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. He had to pay some tax, and he didn't have any money to pay. So he sold the set of books, the three Bhagavatam, first canto, to the captain. He got the money to pay the tax to enter America. And he got $20 or something. He was telling him $5 each, but he didn't have any change. So. And the boat, the Atlantic Ocean is known to be very, very rough. That's why the Pacific Ocean is called Pacific. When they got across America, they thought this one is very peaceful, because the Atlantic is very rough, especially that month that Prabhupada traveled. Brahmananda Prabhu traveled on a small boat like that. His father got him a job after college to teach him something about life. And he said they had 30-foot waves, 40-foot waves. One guy got washed right off the boat, you know, in the waves. The boat's just bouncing like anything. And when this trip that Prabhupada took, it was not like that. It was very smooth. And we have that idea, Prabhupada said Krishna was in another boat up ahead. The captain's wife asked Prabhupada, please go back with us, because we never had such a trip like that. Usually, and this is not a very big boat, you know, it's not like a gigantic boat. It's really bouncing. So Prabhupada was saved by Krishna, in spite of, and you know, heart attack, and nobody there, nothing to help him. The diary is going on every day with just these little observations, and all of a sudden it's blank for 5 days. And then he just says, disaster, I'll write about it later. And then he again starts to pick up on the daily life. I cook some khichdi and that helped me. I could, you know, I could finally eat today. Like for days he couldn't eat, just sick. Seasickness can be very, very, you know, very heavy. So he says, my dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind among this useless soul. I don't know why you brought me here. Now you can do whatever you want with me. That's surrender. You do whatever you want. He didn't say, Krishna, you have to, you know, give me a nice house and, you know, and I get some big donations and some home programs. You know, he didn't have any, just do whatever you want. I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? He'd only seen America a little bit, but I guess he sees so many bars and meat restaurants. You know, if you just take a little walk in America, especially near the docks where all the low-class people work, you know, be a really degraded place. Most of the population here is covered by the material mode of ignorance and passion, absorbed in material life, very happy and satisfied. They think themselves very happy and satisfied. Therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I don't know how they will be able to understand it. So he had, all he had was the transcendental message of Vasudeva, the first canto. Didn't even have Bhagavad Gita or anything. He just had a few hundred first cantos. And how are they going to understand this? But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. So complete faith in the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada taught by example. Of course, all his activities showed this, but this writing really, you know, makes it so clear. He really put, you know, his whole total dependence on Krishna into this poem. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy, so I will be able to convince them of your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. Therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. So this is a very good meditation for preachers. That was Prabhupada's meditation. The illusory energy is Krishna's energy. So he can let them out, but when the devotee really desires that people get something, Krishna will help them. Just like a king, he can free people from the prison. They have that power. So Krishna has put us in the prison because of our desire, but he can arrange. The spiritual master, like Lord Chaitanya, that Gopinath Acharya was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma, is that right? So he was always trying to get Sarvabhauma to be a devotee and believe in Lord Chaitanya and the personality of Godhead. And Sarvabhauma was such a Mayavadi, he could never accept it. He would just argue and defeat him. And then by Lord Chaitanya's association, Sarvabhauma became a great devotee. So Gopinath was, you know, glorifying Lord Chaitanya as your causeless mercy, and you know, and Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's by your desire. By the desire of the devotee. So Prabhupada had such intense desire to satisfy his spiritual master and to have association of devotees. So he didn't think, well, I'll go back to India and find some devotees. He don't make devotees. He wanted association so bad that Krishna sent all kinds of people to become devotees. Not right away. We know that also. For some time, no, practically the New York diary, today nobody came. Today somebody was supposed to come, they didn't come. Today five people came, no donation. Today six people came, $1.25. You know, he was writing down every detail. All the people he was visiting, trying to, you know, promote the Bhagavatam. Somebody took a book and they'll buy it if they like it later. You know, they'll pay. Somebody brought the book back. Things like that. It's a very amazing thing to read. I recommend it for everyone. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of the Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then you will be able they will be able to understand your message. So Prabhupada knew that if he can get people to hear it, it'll work. So then he quotes the Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, 17 through 21. Most of these verses, devotees know them. If you don't know them, you better start studying. You know them. Shinvatat Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam, if you know it. Ridyantak yabidranani vidunoti saritsatam nasta prayeshu abhidreshu nicham bhagavata sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayaschaye Cheta Etayar Anavidam Stittam Sattve Prasidati Evam Prasanamanaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogata Bhagavat Sattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate Vidyate Ridaya Grantis Chidyante Sarva Samshaya Chiyante Chasya Karmani Drishta Evat Manishwade. Especially the first two are quite common. Many times we chant before class, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages. So all of you have come to class, so we have to give you credit. These messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted, Shrinvatat Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanam, it's auspicious. By regular attendance in the classes of the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service under the Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. If you're not English speakers, irrevocable means you can't take it away. Revoking means take it back, you know, like you have a driver's license, but you're drunk and you take away your license. But irrevocable means you can't; it can't be taken away, this service. Irrevocable loving service is established in the heart. The effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust and desire and hankering, disappear from the heart, and the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, this man, whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord, gains positive scientific knowledge of the Personality of Godhead. In the stage of liberation from all material association, thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of action is terminated when one sees the self as master. The knot in the heart, it's tangled up with so many material desires. Prabhupada explained that it has to be cut. When a knot becomes too bad, you only can cut it. You can't untie it. All tangled up. Like that famous knot in England, King Arthur cut the knot. Everybody said, well, anybody could have cut that. He said, yeah, but nobody thought of it. Everyone tried to untie it, so he became the king. I don't know if it's a true story, but Prabhupada said that, what is the sword? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That will cut the knot in the heart, which is keeping us from, you know, connecting with Krishna. He will become liberated, this is Prabhupada's writing, from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. Then again, his humility. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so I can convince them, for I am powerless to do it on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, O my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure, as you like. Complete dependence on Krishna. It's up to you. But not that he's going to not try. Like Krishna told Arjuna, depend on me and fight. You know, think of me and fight. He didn't say, sit down, I'll take care of everything. Prabhupada stressed that. So he's working very hard. When you read that diary, every day he was going. And we found out that a certain shipment of books had been delivered to the New York Public Library before Prabhupada got there. And Brahmananda said Prabhupada used to go like every once in a while just to see the books. And it was a long trip, 3 bus rides or 3 different subways or something across New York City to get, you know, that's the libraries on Fifth Avenue and the other side. Prabhupada was on the Lower East Side and the library's way on the higher West Side. But he had to take a long trip but just to see the books. They were there, maybe to see if anybody was reading them. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. People sometimes, like one devotee, Ishvar Krishna, he was studying in Oxford for the PhD. And they have a mentor, it's like practically you have to take initiation, you have to totally surrender to the teacher that guides your PhD studies. And the teacher told him, you're not speculating. You're just repeating, you know, from your books. You have to speculate. That's why it's not recommended for everybody to go into academia, because they have to be so intelligent to look like they're speculating without speculating. To write in such a way that they think you're speculating, but you're not really, you're just repeating. But we want to repeat, but Prabhupada wanted us, we can repeat in our own way, in different ways, different languages, but different ways of expressing the same message, that chant Hare Krishna, you know, read this book one way or another. Then he says, Taba kripa hale mor kata shuda habe shuniya sabara shoka dukha jay guchabe. Only by your mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel enlightened and thus become engladdened and become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. So much confidence. It is so. Prabhupada just kept speaking, and if anybody would listen, Prabhupada didn't never think about, you know, what their personal habits were, what their background was, or whether they're man or woman, or if they would listen, if they would chant Hare Krishna, he was in ecstasy. Took it as causeless mercy of his spiritual master to send these people. Never judged anybody. Therefore, everybody that met him felt, it's the first time in my life I've never been judged. And this person really cares about me, so they surrender because of that. So this is the famous part. I am a puppet in your hands, so if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance. Nacho, nacho, prabho, nacho, se mate. Kastera, putali, jaha, nacho, se mate. Na chao, Bengali, this is a Bengali poem. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. And Prabhupada really danced, even at that age. Devotees were amazed. Bhakti nai, veda nai, name kubadaro. Bhakti vedanta nama ebe sartaka kor. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna, and I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta. And now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Daladuta, Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Mass., USA, dated 18 September 1965. At that time it matched up with whatever day we're absorbing. Then his pamphlet, which is displayed in his room, and there's a blow-up of it upstairs. It's quite interesting. Srila Prabhupada's pamphlet, 60 volumes of elaborate English version of Tridandi Goswami Bhaktivedanta Swami, carried by the Skindia Steamship Company Limited in Bombay, all over the world for scientific knowledge of God. All over the world. He only had one first canto, but he's saying he's carrying his, because he had it. He had the 60 volumes already written. And then he wrote The Sufferings of Entire Human. This is a little pamphlet he printed in India. There's one in the case. In the Sufferings of the Entire Human Society can at once be brought under control simply by individual practice of bhakti yoga, a simple and easy process of chanting the holy name of God. Every country, every nation, and every community throughout the world has some conception of the holy name of God, and as such, either the Hindus or the Mohammedans or the Christians, everyone can easily chant the holy name of God in a meditative mood, and then will bring about the required peace and happiness to the present problematic human society. So he wrote quite a bit. And then he wrote the Shishastika prayer. And that was what he was had to distribute, you know, right from the beginning. So whatever we have, and the effect on the world, we can see, hopefully in many ways. So many things have happened. First place, that there's so many devotees, that Vrindavan is so crowded with tourists. You know, there was nobody coming here. There was no cars. I remember no cars, and I thought I must have been crazy because I came from America. And then I heard Prabhupada's lecture. He said, Vrindavan is so nice, there's no cars. So somebody might say, well, what, Prabhupada, how can he say that? There, you know, that was in 1970-something. But now, but that's all due to our preaching, Prabhupada's, you know, getting it started and having devotees preaching all over the world. So Vrindavan, Mayapur, you know, the Maha Mantra is everywhere. Kirtan is fashionable. Vegetarianism was considered very dangerous when Prabhupada came. The only vegetarians in America were those, in Japan we say Gemai Shokai, the brown rice people. And there was always stories of somebody dying from the fast and how dangerous it is. And when I became vegetarian, my mother was in total panic. She sent me for a checkup, and the doctor, you know, did whatever they do. And then he came to me and he said, you don't eat meat? I said, no. He said, maybe you can live. That was it. But Prabhupada introduced Sunday feast, really, you know, good taste. Because in America, you know, take away the meat, there's nothing left. There's one scoop of potato and a piece of parsley or something, you know. So people, you say no meat, they just, you know, they just starve. But Prabhupada taught everybody how to cook and distribute. Opulent feast, and we should pick up on that. The feast were, you know, 13, 14 preparations all the time. Everything really good, cooked in ghee. You know, Prabhupada stressed that. Cook in ghee and people will quit eating meat. So vegetarian now, you go in a bookshop, somebody sent a picture from the Zurich airport or something, and there was 7 vegetarian magazines in the airport bookshop. And so that's another thing. And then, you know, I take it even more, all this, you know, animal rights and everything. And all, they're all quoting Prabhupada. They don't know. And many of them don't even believe in God, the environmentalists. But they're all just taking the message that Prabhupada gave, that we've been spreading by Prabhupada's mercy. Devotees are repeating over and over again everywhere. So many people are reading about reincarnation, everybody knows. So we can't really, you know, all the different things. But the main thing is so many people are becoming devotees and giving up the sinful activities. So now we just have to dig in more and more and really get seriously in cow protection, self-sufficiency. We have that bliss department over there. Bhaktivedanta, I can't remember what it is, but self-sufficiency. Grow your own food. I just heard Prabhupada yesterday morning. The Bhagavad Gita teaches how to solve your economic problems, produce your own food, right? Oh, but, you know. We have to do that. That's what he said when he was talking so much at the Varnashram and the 50% at the end. Devotees ask him, Prabhupada, what do you mean by Varnashram? And he said, I will go to Gita Nagari and I will teach them how to live off the land. That's what it really means. It's not like dividing up, you know, here's a Sudra and there's a Brahman and there's a Kshatriya. You know, that's not what it's all about. That's there already anywhere in any society. Everybody's labeled and categorized for, you know, what they are by their birth, if it's not by their birth, in some other way. Everybody has their idea. The people in that tribe are all like this. People in that Gotra are all like that. The black people are all like this. The Indians are all like that. Everybody's caste consciousness. But it's, you know, depending on Krishna and living off the land and getting away from all the, you know, crazy things. So we can meditate more. I recommend it. Read this, both diaries, the Jaladutta diary, the New York diary. It's a really amazing thing to read, to understand, you know, what kind of person Prabhupada is and what kind of, you know, determination he had and how difficult it was. You know, it's very hard to understand because we have such an easy life, you know. We just get online and book a flight and go and everybody greets you, you know, oh, Haribo, what do you want to eat, you know, what do you need before you come, you know, everybody practically. We make sure that we've got our room reserved when we come to Vrindavan, and we got money, and you know. And if we don't have money, we can just call somebody. Oh, send me money, you know. And bam, it comes immediately, right? Western Union. Prabhupada didn't have any of that. He would go to the shipyard every once in a while to see when the ship was going back. Think maybe I'll go back. But even Sumati Maharaji, that she told him, no, you should stay. She encouraged him. And she didn't want him to go in the first place. And when he got very angry, he said, why you don't give me the ride? She said, but Swamiji, my people all say you'll die if you go to New York. It's too cold there. You know, don't worry if I die, he said. It's my guru's order. I have to go. And also she liked his Bhagavatam class that he was giving in her ashram. She didn't want him to go. But she saw that determination, so she gave him the free passage. But 37 days at sea and on a freighter. He had a nice room because it was her room, but otherwise it's a freighter, a very small crew, nothing, you know, and the crew on the ships are usually not the most high class, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's low class jobs. So thank you all for coming to Vrindavan, for attending class. One time in Los Angeles, Prabhupada used to stay a few months in the winter time. And I remember one Sunday he said, just see, it is Sunday and there's not so many people here. But then he was leaving one day in the morning, and normally Prabhupada wanted to be very early to the airport. And it was a little late. Krunder said, Prabhupada, I have to give class. And they were shocked. So he came down very quickly and he said, now I'm going to Hawaii for a few days. But I wanted to tell everybody to attend the Bhagavatam class every day. Then he said, who will give class? He said, Krunder. He said, okay, good. And he said, bye. That was the class. So he was very, you know, because he knew the power. He wanted everybody to. He set up this schedule, which is an amazing thing, and it's still going on all over the world. And if you're not near a temple now, you can tune in to so many different temples at different times and catch the class online. I knew one devotee in London. He had to leave early in the morning to his office, but he would, at night, he would listen to the Los Angeles Bhagavatam. Thank you all for coming. Maybe it's too late. Any comment, Badri? Any question? Yeah? I forgot to record.
According to Srila Prabhupada, saying that we should become self-sufficient in the level of the land. But
yeah.
Vrindavan is becoming so much developed.
Right.
So many buildings are going up, so many roads. There's hardly rain. So is there something missing? Am I missing something?
I don't know.
You quoted Srila Prabhupada saying we should live off the land.
We got that.
Self-sufficient. And we see that Vrindavan is becoming so developed.
So what?
So many buildings are going up. So many roads. So much dust, hardly any rain. Am I missing something? Is something missing?
Yeah. Well, it seems, you know, Prabhupada must have known this was going to happen because he started it. But there's a lot of land around it, farmland. It's not, nothing's being done. It could be farm. Even right around here, I saw many big chunks of land, just weeds, nothing. But the farmland now has become very commercial. You know, unfortunately, people don't grow their own food. They grow sometimes on the prickham, all we see all day is mooli, commercial crop. So the people have to buy everything, right? That's how the government is cheating the people so much. But we can do what we can, and all over the world we have a lot of farmland, but we're not producing our own food. It requires a big change of consciousness to not be too much attached to whatever we want, whenever we want it. Like, you ever been to Dubai? Dubai, they have no anything, you know, only oil. They don't even have oil anymore. But the supermarket there has more varieties of everything than I've ever seen anywhere in the world. Because it's in, you know, they get things from all over the world. So there's no season. So we get used to that. You know, everywhere. Singapore is the same way. They don't have anything. But the supermarket has, you know, mangoes all year. Because they get different seasons. They get from Australia, they get from India, they get, you know, they always have everything. So we get addicted to that, you know, and if, when you're growing your own food, you get kind of whatever's coming harvest, that's what you get for some time. And you don't have, you know, you have your stocked up grains or something. So it requires a big change of consciousness. But we're supposed to be teaching all these people that are coming to Vrindavan. Because many, many Maya bodies have also come to Vrindavan to take advantage of the... But the people never started coming until this temple. When Prabhupada, this temple, he said, who will come to a temple so far away from everything? Fogalashram was the next thing down the road in 1970. Right? You were here? In between, when we came to Mangalartik, it was just hogs eating the stool that people were passing along the side of the road, you know. That's the way it was. And the other way was all forest. I went up the road one time, we walked not very far, and we saw the blue cows right up this road. Now there's just no trees, there's nothing. Just sometimes nothing, or sometimes some huge crazy temple, you know, Mayavadi people, Sahajya people. But we have to be here because everybody comes to this temple, and we have to be very pukka and, you know, try to teach people. At least, you know, to depend on Krishna, know that everything's coming from Krishna. But for ourselves, we really need to, wherever we can, work on these agricultural communities, grow food. It's much better to offer to Krishna if you grow it yourself. Much better. It's like if you cook it yourself, we know that. If you grow it yourself, it's even better. All right? So it is shocking, Vrindavan, that all these 13-story buildings and, you know, and I think many of them are empty because they're overdeveloping. lot of things going on. But devotees are, like, now the temple has a big farmland and they're growing a lot already. And they move the bulls over there and do things right. And all around Vrindavan, there's still so much farmland. So we also try to teach the local farmers not to, you know, that they don't need so much money to live. They're all using tractors, nobody's using the bullock. And we have to do that. Who else is going to do it? I went on the Braj Mandal Parikram a few years ago. I saw one bullock working in the field in 30 days. And we stayed with Parashuram out quite far away. And 4 o'clock every morning, tractors, lights come on and tractors going everywhere. Out to plow these huge fields to grow muli or grow, you know, cabbage or whatever, one crop to sell. Then they get cheated in the market, you know, they change the price. You tell them grow this and then they say, oh, this year the price is down. Better they grow their own and grow everything. And that's traditional farmers. They just grew their own food and they traded around a little bit. Everybody was happy. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shishi Gornitai ki jai. Shishi Radhasham Sundar ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. No, I just got trashed recently.